In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. My name is Pierre Whalen. I'm the bishop in charge of the Episcopal churches in Europe, of which St. Paul's Within the Walls is definitely one of the jewels in the crown. And it's always a great joy to be back among you here in this parish. And I will be also presiding later at the Latin American service, where we will be confirming and receiving people. So it's a great day and a great joy to be here. The gospel that was just read for us was traditionally used on Maundy Thursday, when Jesus instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. And the Latin mandatum novum, a new commandment, is where the word Maundy actually comes from, as a kind of contraction. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's rather strange to be ordered to love. A new commandment I give you. Not a new suggestion. I know some people think the Episcopal Church calls the Ten Commandments the Ten Suggestions. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment, just like the other ten. Imagine a general standing in front of his troops as he reviews them. He says, "I order you to love me." I think his troops would fall on the ground laughing. Think of a father saying to his daughter, "I order you to love me. You have to love me. I'm your father." Wouldn't work. A fiancé saying to her fiancé, "You need to love me. You must love me." It doesn't work, does it? We really can't force someone to love the other person, another person, or yourself. It's not possible. And to go back to those 10 suggestions, you'll recall there's one: honor your father and your mother. Notice that we are commanded to honor and not to love, for all kinds of reasons. It's very sensible. We should honor where we come from, regardless of whether they are still alive, whether they abandoned us, whether they're the greatest parents in the world. We should honor where we come from. We are our past. But the commandment is not to love. And yet Jesus, in his last night with us, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." What does this mean? How can we possibly be ordered to love? Well, I think, first of all, it's necessary to realize that the English language, along with the Romance languages, French, Italian, so forth, have only one word for love. And so whether you love prosciutto e melone, or you love God, the verb is still the same: I love. Greek has four different words for love, and I understand that Arabic has 11, the most. Perhaps the most poetic language on earth. They have lots of ways to use the word love. Love that costs everything you have, gharam. Love that causes you pain, walah, and so forth and so on. What is this love that Jesus is ordering us to do? Well, Pope Francis has come out with a new document, Laetitia Amoris, The Joy of Love, and it's made a lot of splashes because, well, it's very positive about human love. And the Pope wants his church to be known for mercy first, rather than commandment. I think this points us to what Jesus is talking about when he uses the word love. Mercy. That we want to receive mercy from God, first of all. That we want mercy in the sense of a kind of forgiving love that says, "All right, you screwed up. But you haven't broken your relationship with me because, frankly, you can't. This is the mercy of God. And so that Jesus teaches us to forgive each other as we have been forgiven in the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps the most difficult part of that to put into practice. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's a lifelong task to learn how to do that. But I think that's the essence of what this verb here, love, means in this context. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Mercy, and another word, grace. We don't use that word much anymore in modern English, except to say grace before meals, where it means thanksgiving. In French, the Eucharist is called l'action de grâce, the action of grace, giving thanks, the Eucharist, as it is in Greek. That to love one another as Christ has loved us means to live into the work of forgiveness, to show mercy as we've been shown mercy. You know, Desmond Tutu, the Archbishop, former Archbishop of South Africa, defines forgiveness as letting go of the penalty the other person should pay you, foregoing the punishment of the person who has offended you, who has hurt you. So it's all wrapped up in God's forgiveness of us, God's mercy on us, and this grace, this unmerited favor that God gives thanks over us, as we will give thanks over God in a minute in the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. We've got to, I think, follow the Pope's example and get rid of this idea that God leads with anger, that God leads relationship with us with condemnation. It just keeps on rolling in the churches. It's so easy to preach it. You're all sinners and you're going to hell. Repent, join my church, and pay your tithe, and you'll be happy. You know, we Americans have heard this over and over again, but you can go to Nigeria or Uganda or Congo and hear the same kind of so-called gospel. It's just so easy and it's so false. In the book of Genesis, you'll recall Eve had a conversation with a snake, bit into some fruit because it looked good and it was going to make her wise, and then she offered some to the love of her life, namely Adam, who didn't think much of it and just bit into it. You recall all that, and then suddenly their eyes were open and they saw they were naked. And then, you see, God walks in the garden, that wonderful phrase, looking for Adam and Eve, calling out to them. And they've meanwhile sewn fig leaves to cover themselves, which is not about modesty, by the way. It's about the consequence of their sin, which is that they no longer have the perfect relationship. Something's come between them. And so when God knows, is told by Adam and Eve what they've done, in the traditional Western view, God gets angry with them and punishes them. But that's really a fairly recent view. In the very ancient view, God was grieved. God was saddened by what they had done to one another. And when God spells out the consequences, it's not that God wants to punish them, make them hurt, kick them out of the garden, make them wear animal skins and all that. You remember how the story goes. It's not that God wants to make women childbirth even more painful and the man's work scratching the dust to try to find something to eat. No. It grieves God that these are the natural consequences. So you see, we all live with the consequences of the evil that's been done. The evil that we've done, and the evil that has been done to us, or that was done in the last generation, or 5 generations ago, or 10 generations ago, the thing that we were born into, a world distorted by evil, and therefore the mercy and the grace and the love of God in Christ is ever more good news. When we get a hold of the fact that we live with these consequences and they grind us down and they destroy us, and yet God says, no, I will not let you go. God says, come and be forgiven because you already are in Christ. God says to us, I love you as you are, though I don't intend for you to stay that way. Mercy and grace and love and forgiveness, they all go together. The new commandment I give to you, Jesus says, is that you try this out on the people around you and start with yourself, to forgive yourself, to have mercy on yourself, to know grace on yourself because God has already done so. And then be free to let go of what people owe you because they've hurt you or offended you. And then be free to try to see other people as God sees them, imperfect, weighed down, struggling as you are struggling, even though it may not seem that way. And having seen people as they are, and I'm talking about a lifelong practice here, not something that happens overnight. It takes time to do this, as I said, but try it today. To try to see other people as they really are, like you, and have mercy on them, and try to do right by them, so they might flourish. Because you see, divine love is not a feeling. It's all we talk about in our culture, is the feeling of love. It's not a feeling. It starts with a decision. To accept this commandment to love, because we've been loved. To decide to forgive as haltingly as you can, because we've been forgiven. To try to show mercy to other people, for we've received mercy. And above all, to share the joy of this new life that Christ won for us on the cross and sealed for each one of us by rising from the grave. He has the right to say, a new commandment I give you. He has the right to order us to love as we have been loved. And we have the ability, however poorly we may think it, to say yes and to try it ourselves. And the world will never be the same again if only we'll do so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.